And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right now, they're shaking their fist, as it were, in the face of God. You know, in the face of Christianity, in the face of the Scripture and what God wants. God doesn't know what he's talking about. God's a God of judgment, and he's a God of wrath, and God's no good, and we don't want him. And there's even people, you ever think about this? Even those people that deny that there's a God, self-proclaimed atheist, someday they are going to bow before him, and they're going to acknowledge that he is Lord. That's going to happen. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So how good and wonderful it is to do it in the here and the now. Well, we're right here now, and that's what we do in church on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesdays. Anytime you gather to worship, you're acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. Well, that's good. That's one thing, that he's Lord, but then it gets a little bit more personal. Have you allowed him to be the Lord of your life? Think about that. Oh, he's Lord. He's God. He's great. He's wonderful. There's nobody like Jesus. There's nothing like the name of Jesus. Oh, it's good and it's all wonderful. But have you allowed him to become the Lord of your life, where he rules and he reigns in your heart? Amen. And he has that free leading in your heart. You just follow the leading of the Spirit. You know what? We spend our whole lifetime just trying to get that down, trying to do that. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. I want to be an obedient child of God. And we fall short so many times, but thank God that he remains faithful to us. Let's get ready to receive our offering here this morning. Don't forget, this is the second Sunday of the month. I don't know if it might have been mentioned at the opening of Sunday school, but it is Mission Sunday. We do remember missions, and you're giving in missions, and we thank you for it. And we're just a little bit over $5,000 short on the $50,000 that is needed to purchase that property in the Dominican Republic. It's going to be a Haitian church, because there's a lot of Haitians in the Dominican. They speak a different language. They speak the French Creole, and they need a large church. Right now, they have to hold two or three services, and then you have to be have a time appointed to you when you can come to church. And when it's your time to come to church, you go to that service, and you can't stay for the next one or come to the third one because there's no room in the building for you. I'd like to have that kind of a problem here, where I'd have to give you all the time. This is when you'll come to church. This is the set time for you. And they do that there. So the Lord's opened up the opportunity for us to purchase a property down there for $50,000, and they're just about $5,000 short of getting that $50,000. And they need it by June the 1st. We've only been at it for about a month now, amen, and so it's God's work, and God is providing and will provide, and if the Lord would speak to your heart to help in that endeavor there in the Dominican Republic, go ahead and do it. That's just the property, and once we have the property, then to construct that church, you're probably talking between $70,000 and $120,000 that'll need to come in for that. But God is faithful. Amen. He's not going to bless us with the property if he doesn't have a plan to bless us in a way that we're going to be able to construct that building here for those people. Amen. And so keep that in mind in your missions giving, and continue to be faithful in your offering and in your tithes. There is a note on the board, a thank you card from Brother Hawk. He wrote a thank you note and thanked you for the generous offering. Take a minute to read that before you go out. And I say thank you. Amen. Continue to worship the Lord this morning. Amen. God has something that he wants to say to us today. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, turn over to the book of Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at something here, something that you've all heard before. You're all very familiar with it. But God is faithful to us. And what we need, and I was thinking back to it with what Brother Hawk shared with us last Sunday, it's so hard to see what is really going on in the spiritual world. And the reason is now is because we live here in the present. And the present situations and circumstances that we're living in, it eclipses what God has for us. We can only see here and now, and so life becomes so much about that. But God has so much more for us. And something that was shared, I believe it was up at the revival in Olean, and I've been saying that here in the church, amen, we want to see God move. And when we come into God's house and gather in his name and we're in his presence, We just don't want to come and sing a few songs and take an offering and hear a sermon and say a little prayer and go home and, you know, along the way praying for those that are in need. We want to see a move of God. We want to see God moving, because it takes that stirring and that moving of the work of God, amen, for things to be accomplished for Him. And I think about the porches where they laid all the sick folk, and Jesus, or the troubling of the waters would happen one time a year, and the first one that went down into the troubling of that water was healed from whatsoever disease that he had or sickness that he had. And it was the time for those people to move whenever the Spirit of God moved. And when the Spirit of God comes into the place, that's the time to enter in and to receive what God has for you. And part of that is we need to prepare ourselves with an expectation. God, move by your power and by your Spirit. God, manifest yourself to us in the service today. God, and you can pray that way, but you can make it more personal. You can pray, God, manifest yourself to me today, God. Hey, let's be honest with God. We're all facing things. We're all facing situations. We need some answers from God. We want to try to understand. Does everybody understand everything that's going on in your life and you're just okay with it? There's perplexing things that go on, and we need God to help us. And there's nothing wrong with praying, God, when I get into your house, and it don't have to be just in the house, it can be any time, but when I gather in your house with the other saints of God, Lord, that you will manifest yourself to me, that you will give me guidance, that you will help me, that you will give me the assurance that everything's going to be okay, that you're working out. And so that sort of goes along with the scriptures that I'm going to share with you here today. And I've entitled this morning, Along the Way. Along the way. So let's read Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So along the way we want to talk about this morning. In the first words that Jesus said to them in this verse 35, and it's in red, he said, Let us pass over onto the other side. And he has said that to us today. Since you accepted Christ as your Savior, he wants you to safely pass over the other side. The crossing of that Jordan, we use that analogy. To get from this life to that life, we're just going to pass over to the other side. But along the way, there's going to be a lot of difficulties and things that come our way, that happen to us, that try to deter us, that try to discourage us, that becomes a test of our faith. And so the same thing happened to them here. They sent the multitude away in verse 2, and there were other little ships that were with him. And then as they were, he said, let us go over to the other side. They should have just taken out, hey, we're going to the other side. But along the way, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and it looked like there was no hope. And in your walk with God, since you've gave your heart to God, and in your Christian walk with him, how has it been going along the way? Has it all been wonderful and good, and there hasn't been any difficulties? Or have you had a great storm of wind arise in your life? Great storms come to all of us from time to time. Not great in the sense that it's a wonderful thing, but the great in the sense that it's a fierce storm. It's something that we don't want to face. We don't want to go through. But God is there to help us. God is there to help you. You need to remember that, because he made a way so that you can get safely from here to there. Although great storms are going to come up against you, things that are difficult are going to come against you to try to deter you, to try to disturb you, to try to sway you in another direction. And the waves, they even beat into the ship. And sometimes the storms that we go through, sometimes it pulls us down a little bit more than what it should. And it's like, I think I'm going to go under with this. And it said so that the ship was now full. It was already filling up. Have you ever been overwhelmed with something that you have faced in your life? I have. Sometimes sometimes overwhelming things happen to us. We don't know where to turn to. We don't know what to do. But then we need to remember that song. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. That's when we need to call upon the name of the Lord for the Lord to help us. But listen, sometimes we think because we become overwhelmed with all the things that are coming against us, we almost feel like we're failing God. Hey, we're human. That's a natural thing. When things come in, you just feel overwhelmed. It's like, wow, what am I going to do now? Who am I going to turn to? In what direction am I going to go? And so then this continues on here, and Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, and he was asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And I might remind you today, the things that are going on in your life that are oppressing you and oppressing you and coming against you, yes, you're disturbed about them. You don't like them. But the whole time that is going on, in this instance here, Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship and he was asleep on a pillow. All of the things that's going on in your life today, all of the things that are going on in the world today, all of this attack against Israel, and you see the skirmishes and wars and rumors of wars. I mean, it's not a good time in this world to be there. But all the while that this is going on, you know where our Heavenly Father is today? He's seated on his throne, and Jesus is sitting on his right hand of the Father. That's where he sits today. He's not jumping up from his throne and wringing his hands. Oh God, oh Jesus, do you see? There's no conversation like that going on in heaven. He's in complete peace. He is in complete control. And you might say, at times in your life, there probably has been things that have happened and you felt like God was asleep. God, aren't you hearing my prayers? God, are you deaf? God, are you blind? Can't you see what I'm going through? Don't you know what I'm going through? You know, you said in your word, you're touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but right now I'm beginning to doubt that, because if you were being touched like I was being touched, you would be doing something about it. Jesus is doing something about it. Amen. He's paved the way for us because he came and he was victorious over death. Amen. We can be victorious in this life that he has laid out for us. In Psalms 65:7, it says this, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people. And it's Jesus, amen, letting God in your life. He can still the noise of the seas, and he can still the noise of the waves. You ever been down to an ocean? It's an experience to have. And if you've just been there on a calm and peaceful day, it's real gentle and nice. It's a good feeling to look at it. But if you've ever been down to the ocean or to the sea whenever there's a storm, I've never been there during the time of a hurricane, neither do I want to be, to face something like that. But the noise of the seas and the waves, it has a noise it makes. And those waves come in and they make the noise. And the tumult of the people and all the noise that's being made around you, the first part of that says, speaking of God, he stilleth the noise of the seas. There can be turmoil going on in your life. There can be circumstances that are really pressing against you, and you just have a peace in your heart, because the Word of God does talk about that he will give us a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. A peace that's there in the middle of the storm. There have been some people in this church that have gone through some very, very hard things in their life, and they've come out of them and testified that they had a peace when they were in that storm. They weren't all beside themselves. You might be the bystander and you're looking at what somebody's going through and you're thinking, how can they be so peaceful? How can they be so calm? I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Neither would I want to be in their shoes, because their peace and their rest is in God, because Jesus is the one that stills the noise of the seas and the noise of the waves and the tumult of the people. We can have a peace that passes all understanding. Listen, we don't know exactly all of the things that we're going to face in these last days. Amen. But we know, according to Scripture, we're going to face some difficult times. Amen. There's all kinds of things that's going to happen. And if you think this world loves you, you're kidding yourself. The world can't stand Christian people. The world can't stand people that take this as the book to live by. They think we're out of touch. They think we're out of reality. And the legislation and different things that governments in our land, by state and by federal, that are doing against the church and coming against God's people, we don't know what we're going to face. Amen. There's noise all around us, but God can still that noise. Psalms 107:29 says this, He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. He can take that storm and He can make it calm because He did that with the story that we looked at this morning. I might be ahead of myself a little bit, but they said, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And how many times, I know I said this once, I'll say it again. How many times have you thought, God surely doesn't see what's going on in my life because I'm a child of God. I just don't think this should be happening to me. But we're going to help you this morning because there are going to be things that happen. And there are things that happen to us that we don't understand. But we know this, that He maketh the storm a calm. He can take that storm in your life, and in the midst of the storm, you can have a calm. Yeah, the storm is still blowing around you, but you just have a peace and a rest and assurance in your heart that everything is going to be okay, so that the waves thereof are still. God does that for us. And so in verse 37 of our reading that we did here this morning, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. It was already filling. In verse 38, He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they woke Him up. And they said, Teacher, don't you care that we perish? Perhaps you have made that prayer to God at some point in your life. You're going through a really difficult time. And maybe you've been tempted to do it, or maybe you've even done it. God, don't you care about what's going on in my life? Don't you see that this thing is about to pull me down? Have you no concern for me? Don't you care about that? Some think that it would be terrible to make a prayer like that. But if you're thinking it in your heart, God already knows what you're thinking. And it's okay to have open conversation with God. Amen. He's not the kind of a father, a heavenly father, that's going to get upset with Him or with you. He's not going to get upset with you when you just express to Him the feelings that are in your heart, the wonderment that's in your heart, things you don't understand, because He'll have a response for you. He will be able to speak to you. He will be able to speak. And He spoke to them. He said, don't you care, Teacher, don't you care that we are going to perish? But then in verse 39, He arose and He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, or meaning silence, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, if I don't understand all of the things in the moon phases and how it all happens, but even in this little reservoir that we have down the road here, the Kinzu Reservoir, you go down there in the summertime, and throughout the day in that, there can be waves. We call them white caps. It'll even get enough that you'll see like the white caps on the water. And it's pretty wavy, and it's not because boats are going by. It's just pretty wavy. But then there comes a time in the evening, and I don't understand this phenomenon. That's what I'll call it. But then there comes a time in the evening where it just is still. The water's like a mirror. It's like glass. There's nothing moving on that water. And I like to think that that's what Jesus did here. The waves were just tumultuous. I mean, they were coming into the ship, so it was bigger than white caps that we have down at the Kinzu Reservoir. It was a bad thing that was going on. And when He spoke onto that storm, it said there was a great calm that came. It ceased. It was just like wonderful feeling. And that's what God wants to do in your life. Amen. He can speak peace in the midst of the storm, that there can come a great calm in your life. You just know, God, you got this. Jesus, you got this. Somehow you're believing it, and you just feel so calm. And sometimes you have to check yourself. Why am I so calm in this situation? Usually this would really have me down. Usually this would really have me worked up, but it's just like I'm so calm. And then we can begin to think, well, I've become calloused, and maybe it's a case of all this stuff's going on and I just don't care anymore. I'm just not going to let it bother me. Amen. It's not the case. That could be in some people. But for us, if you have a peace when you know that you normally wouldn't have a peace, that comes from God. Amen. Because He speaks a calm in the storm. But the thing is, you have to ask Him to give you that peace. You have to trust Him. Amen. That He's going to help you. Now He addresses the problem with a question. Amen. Their problem with a question. And that's where we want to focus today. He addresses their problem with a question. And He says this in verse 40, He addresses the problem. He said, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? And I'll ask that to you today. For whatever you're facing, the circumstances in your life, the situations, why are you so fearful? Well, because of this, because of that. And I can sympathize with you. I can understand why you might have a tendency to be. But Jesus says to us in the midst of those storms, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Don't you have any trust in me? Don't you have any faith in me? Have you forgot about me? And sometimes I think what we forget to do, and I say it this way, we forget the God factor. We just look at the natural side of things in the here and the now. And yes, that's going to fill your hearts with fears. You're not going to know. You might have a bill or something that's pressing you, and you sort of block it out of your mind. You make it through your day, but there's times that the thought will come to you. Hey, this bill is due. What are you going to do about it? We can get full of fear. We can go down the road of imagination. Well, I'm probably going to end up losing everything that I have. I'm probably going to get sued if I don't pay this thing. And man, there's no hope. We just become so fearful. Why is it that you are so fearful? And then he continues with that in the second part. Another question he says, how is it that you don't have any faith? We need to have faith in God. Amen. Whatever you're going through in your life today, have faith in God. A better day is coming. Well, I want that day to be here now. But in the midst of the storm, he can give you a peace right now. That's the kind of God that we're serving. Amen. We're serving a great, big, wonderful God. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. You can turn there if you want to. I have written on my paper here. Here it says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. He said, don't think it strange about the fiery trial that you're going through as though this is some strange thing. This shouldn't be happening to me. I've done everything right. I give my tithes. I give my offerings. I read my Bible. I pray. I'm a witness for Jesus. Why is this going on in my life? Don't think it's something strange. Amen. Because even though those things come against us, God is still in control. And He is still seated. Jesus is still seated at the right hand of the Father today, even though your life might be just about be turned upside down. Amen. Because our faith needs to be in God. Don't think it's some strange thing. Amen. Because that trial that comes, it comes to try you. Joseph could have thought, this is some strange thing that's happening to me, which it was. His own brothers betrayed him and sold him into slavery. I wonder what was going through his mind as he was going down into Egypt. I wonder if the thought crossed his mind, maybe I need to try to make an escape here while we're still in my homeland and I can get away from these merchants here. And who knows what he thought? The Bible doesn't tell us all the thoughts that went through Joseph's mind, but he thought, man, this is sure a strange thing. I didn't do anything to deserve this. But if you get clear to the end of Joseph's story, as he says to his brothers, something that you have thought for evil against me, God has thought it for good, because God sees the big picture. The problem is we only see the here and now and know we do not understand. And it's not wrong to say, God, give me understanding. Lord, I want to understand what it is that you're working in my life, what you're doing in my life. Don't think it's some strange thing that's happening unto you. Amen. That fiery trial that you're going through. And then Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 tells us this, above all, you can do all kinds of things. You can do all kinds of things. You can say prayers. You can have other people praying for you. You can go on a fast. You can do this and that against the things that are coming against you, and all of that you might do. But above all, you have to take the shield of faith. Why do we have to take that shield of faith? Remember what Jesus said to them. How is it that you have no faith? We have to take that shield of faith because with that shield of faith, if you read on in that verse, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. By that shield of faith. Amen. You can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The enemy is looking for an opportunity to get a fiery dart into every one of us. A fiery dart, that's something that hurts, something that's painful, something that we don't want to go through. Don't think that the enemy's not looking for an opportunity to do that. But if we want to quench those fiery darts, we have to hold up that shield of faith in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, sickness, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, poverty, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, adversity, in the name of Jesus. It takes faith to be able to do that because you're in the here and now and you're feeling it and it's starting to pull you down a little bit. You have to rise up above it. You have to take that shield of faith, amen, that you can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. That's why you need to saturate yourself in the Word of God. You need to be filled with the Spirit, not walking in the flesh, not walking in the carnal man, but walking in the Spirit. Be saturated with the Spirit of God. And then when those fiery darts come, amen, that Spirit of God that's in you is just going to quench those fiery darts. I know it's been told that what they would do with those wooden shields that they had, they would take and they would soak them in water. And if you ever soaked wood in water long enough, it really makes that shield heavy. But it says through the history that they would go out into battle and they would have that shield before them that had been soaked in water, and they actually did shoot fiery arrows back in the day. That's how they would fight their enemy. Set an arrow on fire and send it into the enemy camp, and they would send it towards you, and as you would hold up that shield that was saturated with that water, that arrow that's on fire would hit that shield and it would quench the fiery dart. The fire would go out that's on that arrow. The damage that it was intended to do, it couldn't do it. Well, our shield of faith is the Word of God. Amen. We have the Word of God. You need to saturate yourself with the Word of God. Well, everything's going good in my life today. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. But you and I'm not a prophet of woe and doom saying bad things are coming, but when those hard times do come, what are you going to stand upon? Are you just going to stand up on, oh, I remember the good days. God was faithful to him. He's not doing so good now. We could even look at it that way. But if we're strong in the faith, it'll quench the fiery darts of the devil. I don't want a fiery dart to hit me and to get me. It's one thing if a fiery dart hits me, but I don't want it to do any damage to me. Amen. And those fiery trials that come against you, it'll hit you. It's going to hit you head on. The disciples, they were experiencing that storm. They were in it. There was the waves. There was the wind. The water was coming in the ship. They were in the middle of it. But God delivered them out of that. And so a fiery dart might hit you, but it doesn't have to do you any harm. It doesn't have to do you any good because you have that shield of faith. Amen. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Amen. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Many times we just think those things when the fiery trial comes, but it's not wrong to say those things. Amen. There's been people that have done it. You might say, listen here, Mr. Devil, you have a seat in this chair right over here. I'm going to have a conversation with you. You really think this fiery dart's going to get me? I'm going to tell you how this fiery dart isn't going to get me. And then you can go against him through the Word of God, and you can put him in its rightful place. God wants you to be able to quench the fiery darts that come against you. Too many people are taken down by fiery darts that have come against them. Oh, a fiery dart of discouragement, a fiery dart of nobody cares about you, a fiery dart that you're a nobody, you're a nothing, a fiery dart that you can't do this, everybody else is doing so good, but you're not doing so wonderful. He tries to put doubt and confusion within our minds, but we need to know the Word of God, amen, the sword of the Spirit, and be saturated with that. John 16, verse 33, these things, and then we wonder what things. This is the words of Jesus, I have spoken unto you that ye might have peace. What is it that we might have peace? What did he speak unto them? And we're going to look about that. He talked about the coming comforter. He talked about the sorrow being turned into joy. And he says, I have overcome the world. That's the things that he talked to them about. And what did he say? These things I speak unto you that ye might have peace. And he said this, and I know I refer to it often, but you got to understand it. Don't expect it, but know that it's going to happen. In this world ye shall have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation in this world. How many could honestly say this was the best week of my life? Everything went just as planned. I was blessed coming in and going out. Men were given into my bosom. I was able to lead people to Jesus. I was able to cast devils out of somebody that was demon-possessed. And, you know, I was able to pray for somebody. I was able to lay hands on the sick and they recovered. I was able, through the power of God, to raise somebody from the dead. Oh, it was the best week I ever had in my life. There's probably not many of us that could say that. Because in this world, Jesus said, you are going to have tribulation. And we stop right there so many times and think, oh, it's just going to be woe. It's going to be trouble. It's going to be a terrible thing. But he continued on, and thank God that he did. He said, but be of good cheer. I, Jesus, have overcome this world. I've overcome this world, and I'm in you, and you're in me, and you can overcome this world also. You don't have to go down in your sorrow and in your storm and in the waves that are beating against your life. Amen. He wants us to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. There's a better day coming. We have to lift up our heads. We have to look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. The fiery trial isn't a strange thing that will come to you. We read that in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. The fiery trial that comes to us, it's not a strange thing. When it happens to you or when it happens to me, we tend to think we're the only one that something like this has ever happened to. We tend to think this is so unfair. This is so unjust. What in the world is going on? We tend to think that way. Don't think that it's a strange thing. When something comes against you, this is strange. This isn't normal. This isn't right. The Bible said don't even go down that way. Amen. We have to stand up on the promises of God's word. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. And this was a promise to the children of Israel, and it's good for us today. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we're going to look at verse 6, and we're going to look at verse 8 in Deuteronomy 31. It says this, verse 6, amen, as he was speaking to the people here, he was speaking to the children of Israel, and he was commissioning Joshua as Moses' successor. And this is what he was saying to Joshua, and I think we can grab a hold of these too. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Don't be afraid of the things coming up on this earth. You listen to the news, it can send a chill down through us. It can send a fearful thought through us. As I said earlier, we don't know what's going to come against us as believers in these last days. But God is saying, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Be afraid of them. Why? Because the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. And the word of God tells us in another place, he goes before us and he makes the crooked path straight. What you're facing today, he knew last year you were going to face what you're facing today. Didn't take him by surprise. He's like, oh my, where did that come from? Boy, I didn't see that one coming. We can take a rest and a peace and assurance in that. Whatever is going on in your life today, God knew it would be going on today in 2024. Amen. And he wants us to take courage because he goes before you and he will not fail you and he won't forsake you. You're not going to go down. You're not going to sink. It's not the end. God is there to help you. Then we jump down to verse 8 and it says, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither dismayed. Sometimes we forget that Jesus has gone before us. And as I was making reference in John 16:33, Jesus says, I have gone before you. He says, I have overcome this world. He goes before us. He makes the crooked path straight. When we don't see any way out, God's already prepared a way out of that situation. He's gone before you. He's not trying to catch up with the problems in your life. Oh my goodness, well look what's going on in brother or sister so-and-so's life. What am I going to do about this now? He's already been there. He knew that was coming and he's prepared a way out of that. Amen. We need to have our faith and we need to have our trust in God. And then we just turn over a little bit. Amen. Another one that was to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5 says, Joshua 1:5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. The enemy can't stand before you. He can't do it. He buffets us. He deceives us. He lies to us. We begin to think he has more power than we do, that I can't do this, that he's got the upper hand. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And I say it this way, there's not any devil that can stand before you all the days of your life as long as you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Can't do it. He'll try to do it. He'll buffet you. He'll lie to you. He'll hit you with a fiery dart here or there, trying to bring your faith down. And so he said to Joshua, no man will be able to stand against thee. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Jesus won't fail you or forsake you today. Oh, we fail him at times. We forsake him at times, but he won't fail you. He won't forsake you. David, an example in the scripture. David, as he was being pursued by Saul, he was running for his life. He was running for his life. Saul chased David all over Israel trying to kill him. Yeah. How would you? I'm facing some things, but I'm not facing somebody out to draw blood on me to actually take my physical life. I wouldn't want to face something like that. David was facing it, and Saul ran after him all over Israel. David was running for his life. Saul was David's enemy. He was David's enemy. And what Saul was doing is he was getting in the way of what God intended for David to do. And so as the enemy comes against you, he's trying to get in the way of what God is intending to do in your life. Think about that. He's trying to get in the way. God has gone before you. He's prepared the way. He has a purpose. He has an intention for you. It says in the Old Testament, I know the thoughts that I think about you. God has a plan for your life, but the devil is out there trying to get in God's way so God can't do what he wants to do in your life. That's what Saul was doing to David. He was stopping David from doing what God wanted to do in his life. Saul, he intended to pin David to the wall with a spear. He intended to do that. I'm going to pin you against that wall with that spear. And Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, it talks about this. Taking the kingdom by force is making a concerted effort to enter the kingdom in spite of violent opposition. We're going to take it by force. You just aren't going to just waltz into heaven. Oh, it's going to be birds and butterflies and just riding on a golden chariot down streets of gold into heaven. Are you kidding me? It's not going to be that easy to get there because there's opposition that is going to come against you. And so we're going to take it by force. We are making a concerted effort to enter the kingdom of God. Are you making a concerted effort to make heaven your home? Or are you just like, well, if it's meant to be, it'll be. Who am I? God has his chosen. And if I'm one of them, I'll be there. And if I'm not, it doesn't matter what I do. I'm not going to make it. Get out of here with that lie from the devil. Amen. You need to make a concerted effort. And if you're going to make a concerted effort to get into the kingdom of God, that takes courage. That takes unwavering faith. You have to be courageous. You have to have a determination. You have to have an endurance. I am determined I'm going to make heaven my home. I am determined that I'm going to serve Jesus. I am determined that I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I am determined that I'm going to be in God's house as much as I possibly can be. I am determined that I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do my best to serve God. You have to have a determination, and you have to have an endurance. You have to have an endurance. This race is for those that have an endurance to make it into heaven. Oh, some start a race, and you go down to the, when they do track and field at school, and you watch a runner that's not an experienced runner. As soon as that gun goes off, that shot goes off, he takes off like a jackrabbit. I mean, he's way out ahead of everybody. But the longer that race is, the chances of that one ever winning the race is very slim. It's very slim. They have to have an endurance. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You have to have a determination that you are going to make it to heaven. It doesn't matter what happens to you here in this life. Your goal needs to be on heaven. You're going to make it. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Having a determination, none of us here have made it to heaven yet. Including who was here at the fellowship meeting, including Pastor Eastman. He's going to be 88 years old next month. Amen. We need to get a card around. My sister Todd does a good job on that. I'm sure she will. We can all sign that for him. He hasn't made it to heaven yet. So the devil's thinking, well, boy, he did a mighty fine job over there at that revival center for those 58 years. He's got God in his life. It's hands off. I'm not going to pester him. I'm not going to try to do anything to him. I'm just going to let him waltz on into heaven. Are you kidding me? We don't know the things, and he doesn't share. We don't know the battle that he might have going in his mind. He hasn't made it yet. And the devil doesn't stop. He's relentless. He keeps coming after. He keeps pushing and shoving. And you're thinking, well, I'm facing this temptation in my life, and I'm facing that. It doesn't matter what stage of life you are in. The devil is there trying to get a fiery dart into you so that you'll drop out of this race. And the only way that you're going to make it to heaven is you have to stay in this race if you're going to win the prize. And you have the power and the ability to do that. So to sum it up, what we have to do, we have to be, as Paul was describing here to the church at Corinth, we have to run this race as a highly disciplined athlete. Highly disciplined. Football season is over. Thank the Lord. Okay? I think it was in January, February, whenever it was. They did their Super Bowl. So all those athletes, they went home. They're down in the Bahamas. They're out in Hawaii. They're over in Australia. They're just laying in the sun, laying in the beach, and just waiting for the call to come. You know, football camp's going to start. You need to show up. Are you kidding me? They don't ever stop preparing for the game. They go to workouts every day. And you do a study, take any one of them and do a study on the extensiveness of their training. They train day in and day out, even when the season isn't going on. And so we, to make it into heaven, we have to be as a highly disciplined athlete. To the Christian, we have the proper motive. Are you a highly disciplined Christian? Or are you one that's just waiting? Hey, it's time for church. Oh, let's go to church. Let's put on our Jesus hat and our Jesus clothes, and let's go there and express the love of Jesus. And the whole rest of the time, you're just out doing whatever you want to do. It doesn't work that way, okay? And what's the proper motive that we should have? The proper motive that an athlete has, he has an all-out desire to win the race. If it's a race he's running in, he has an all-out desire to win that race. You have to have an all-out desire to make heaven your home. Not, I hope I can make it. I doubt that I will. You don't know my weaknesses. You don't know my faults and failures. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. And then the devil whispers stuff to us, and we tend to listen to him. We have to have an all-out desire to make heaven our home. And what do those athletes have? They have habits. What's their habits? They have habits of discipline, training, and practice. And I talked about that. And then what we also need to make it into heaven, and the athletes also have it, they have a value system. And what do we have to have as our value system? You're going to make it into heaven. You need a high regard for God in your life. A high regard for God. You know, we make light of at times that little saying, what would Jesus do? You're just bebopping through life and you face something. Well, I'm not sure what I should do. Well, just think, what would you need to have a high regard for God in your life. The thing that you want to do most in your life is please God. I want to please my wife. If I don't, there's consequences. But what happens if I don't please God? There's going to be severe consequences. I might miss out. I might not win this race. I have to please God. Amen. So we have to have a high regard for God. And then what we have to have with God, if we're going to make it in, a high regard for God and a faithful obedience to Him. Faithful obedience to Him. I'll just obey Him when it's convenient for me. When I feel good about it, I'll obey you, God. But today I think I'm going to throw that off. We can't do that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and we're coming down to an end here this morning. We must run this race in order to win. There's no point in competing if all you give is a half-hearted attempt. If you're going to run a race and you're only going to do it half-hearted, there's no sense in getting in that race. You might as well sit on the bleachers and just watch. In this journey to heaven, remember what I said to you this morning, amen, what we're calling this, along the way. We're talking about along the way. If you don't have a full-hearted attempt to make it into heaven, why are you wasting your time in church? Maybe I'll make it to heaven. Maybe I won't. I'm not sure. Maybe I will. You have to have a full-hearted attempt to make it into heaven. You must be serious about following Christ and becoming holy. He said, be holy as I am holy. You have to have a seriousness about that, about following Christ. You can't be a disciple of Jesus if you aren't willing to give Him everything. You can't be His disciple if you're not willing to give Him everything. You got to give Him everything. We are to give Him our all so we can grow in our knowledge of Him. We have to give Him our all. We aren't to be ineffective or in a decline, okay? We're not to be that way, but we must train hard. And the last scripture I'm going to read, I think I read it to you already, 1 Corinthians 9:25. We have to train hard. We have to make it. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, not that they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Don't take holidays from your training. An athlete can't take a holiday from his training. You can't take a holiday from serving God. It's every day. You're fighting this fight. Do you think the devil takes a day off? In his attempt to pull you down, to get a fiery dart into you, he's like, oh, I'm on a vacation. I'm going to leave them alone this week or this day or this month. We can't take a vacation from serving God. We have to be determined that we're going to follow God, that we're going to serve him no matter what. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. And I know Brother Hawk and a lot of them do it. They'll have you come down and pray, but you can pray right there where you're standing. God, help me this day, Jesus. Lord, where is my faith today, God? Am I overwhelmed by the things that come against me? Am I really determined to make heaven my home? Father, in the name of Jesus, as each of us examine ourselves, our own selves today, God, are we in this for the long haul? Or are we just trying this out? And if it goes good, maybe I'll stay in the race. And who knows? Maybe I won't. God, we can't be that way. God, we have to have that determination that we are going to make heaven our home, that we are going to win this race, God, until we draw our last breath here upon this earth, or until the trumpet sounds, whatever happens first, God. Lord, we're giving it our all, God. We're sold out to you. We're determined, God, in the name of Jesus. Help us this day, God. Lord, strengthen our hearts. Strengthen our faith this day, God. Lord, so easy to think, God, where are you? Don't you see? Don't you understand? But we know that you do, God. We want to see you working in our lives. God, where is our faith today, God? Let it not be said of us, O ye of little faith. Oh, God, if you could talk to any one of us today, would you say to some of us, where's your faith? How come you don't have any faith, God? Let that not be said of us, God, but let our faith and our trust be found in you this day, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, minister unto us this day. Speak to our hearts. Strengthen us, O God. Lord, that we can make heaven our home. God, that we can run this race in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it. God, for any that are facing hard times, facing discouragement, that you'll help them this day. If there's any here that want us to agree together with you in prayer over a situation that you might be facing, you do not have to tell me that situation. You tell it to God what it is, but we'll agree in prayer with you today that this thing will be conquered in the name of Jesus, that you'll get the victory over the situation, whatever it might be. Let God work in your life today. Let God help you today. Oh, he's offering his hand today. He's extending his hand to you today. He wants to help you. He wants you to have that strength. He wants to say, peace be still to the storm that's in your life today. He wants there to be a great calm in your life today. God, we claim that in the name of Jesus. Lord, we reach out to you today. We rebuke the devourer in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for victory today. God, we can do all things through Christ that gives us the strength. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God, in the name of Jesus, I can do all things. God, I will do all things through Christ. Strengthen our hearts today. Minister unto us, O God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Who shines for day.
Oh, seal it up today with the Lord. Seal it up in prayer today. Let God your help. God your deliverer. We live in the here and now. We feel what's going on here. It's hard to see into the spiritual, but God, open our understanding. Open our hearts, O God. Open our eyes. Open our understanding, O God. Lord, work in us, God. And you will as much as we open up to you, God. Lord, we surrender. We submit unto you this day, O God. Lord, if your will be done in our lives, God. Lord, if your will is in heaven, it's accomplished. It will be accomplished here on this earth, O God. Lord, speak to us this day in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
But
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. you let go and let God do what he wants to do in you? Why don't you let go and let God do what he wants to do in you? Amen. In closing this morning, I want to sing this a couple of times. And it's a question. And it says it this way. Why don't you let go and let God do what he wants to do in you? You got to let go. God, I just let go. God, I'm just going to let you do what you want to do. Amen. We'll sing that a few times here this morning. Why don't